today. You can find those cards. If one has not been given to you already, please look in the pocket and the back of the pew in front of where you're sitting. You should find a card there. If you don't, just raise your hand and somebody, one of our members, will certainly make sure that you get a guest card. So fill it out, and it will be asked for in the later part of our service. But again, it's just so good to be here and to see all who are present. And speaking of worship, I would, again, encourage all adults to come to our Wednesday night Bible class. We're starting a special series on worshiping God, and you would benefit greatly if you would be here on Wednesday evening, if at all possible, to be a part of that study, so that we might be able to give God what he wants, not what we want, but what he wants. God is a spirit, the Bible says. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So please come and be a part of those studies. 714 has been announced as our song of invitation, Trust and Obey. We are trusting this morning that if we have any who have not put their trust in Jesus, who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is not a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the one that you can read about in the New Testament, we hope that some things might be shared today that might encourage you to put your faith in Jesus and to obey him and become a member of his body. This is the fourth Sunday. This is our evangelism emphasis day, and we are certainly grateful if you're here, not a member of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, familiar passages to most of us who are members of the body of Christ. I think it would be good for us from time to time to look at the church and to talk about the church and to appreciate the church more and more, because it is the divine institution that God has put in place that he wants all men to be members of in order to come home one day to live with him throughout the ceaseless ages. So this morning we're going to be talking about the glorious church, the glorious church. I know sometimes people take the church lightly. Sometimes people say the church is not necessary. Well, if the church is not necessary, and if you're right about that, then God must have been wrong, because God put it in place. So the glorious church is what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to reread verse 27 of the passages that Brother Greg read this morning as we begin our words of encouragement this morning. Verse number 27, Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that he, that is speaking about Christ, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. What kind of church is he going to present to himself? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him. Yes, indeed, the glorious church. As the Bible points out, it is without a doubt, then, that the church of our Lord is a glorious institution. The word glorious is the adjective form of the noun glory. And of course, all of us remember that an adjective describes a person, place, or thing. So the word glorious then describes the word glory. So let's then define, first of all, the word glory. The word glory means great honor and admiration won by doing something important or valuable. It also means the condition of highest achievement. It means splendor. It means radiant beauty, magnificent. That's the word glory. Now, the adjective glorious means full of glory, full of splendor, full of radiant beauty, full of magnificence. It means splendid. It means, again, magnificent. When one then understands the definition of this word glorious and observes the church as it is described in the Word of God, it should become clear what a grand institution it is. Thus, the Church of our Lord is worthy of all honor, all admiration, all magnificence, and all radiant beauty that one can bestow upon it. Whether we view it in that fashion or not, that's the way God views it. Because again, the Bible says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Well, the question might be asked then this morning, why is the church such a glorious institution? Why is it such a magnificent institution? Why is it such a great institution with radiant beauty? There are several reasons that we want to offer this morning why this is such a glorious institution. Number one, it's a glorious institution because it originated in the mind of a glorious God. I say it's a glorious institution because it originated in the mind of a glorious God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9 beginning, it says, and to make all men, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the what? Eternal purpose. It was in God's eternal mind to establish the church. So it originated then in the mind of a glorious God. The Bible says that God is a glorious God. Look at what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 6, that he's glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And then verse number 11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? The answer is nobody. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? The answer is nobody. Who is like unto thee, glorious and fearful in praises, doing wonders? The answer again is nobody. God is in a class all by himself. This unique God, this God who occupies the seat of glory all by himself, put it in his eternal mind from eternity to establish the church. So the church is glorious because it originated in the mind of a glorious God. And God is not only glorious, but he's more glorious. Psalms says this, Psalm 76, verse number 1 through 4, the Bible says, in Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. So not only is God glorious, but he's more glorious. The church originated in the mind of a more glorious and an excellent God. Not only is he glorious in power, not only is he more glorious and excellent, but his work is glorious. Psalms 111, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. And in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His works is what? Honorable and glorious. And his righteousness endureth forever. So the Lord's work is glorious. His power is glorious. And even the city of Zion, Jerusalem, where the church started, is glorious. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, again, chapter 87, verses 1 through 3, His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Zion is Jerusalem, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. He's talking about Jerusalem. He said, glorious things are spoken of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem is glorious. And Jerusalem was the city where God chose to put his name in Old Testament times. The city of Jerusalem was where the temple was built, in this glorious city of Jerusalem. So the church of our Lord is glorious, number one, because it originated in the mind of a glorious God. We ought to be thankful this morning that this glorious God, who is glorious in power, who is glorious in work, who is glorious and excellent and more glorious, He established an institution to bring us home to be with Him. So the church then ought to mean something to you. The church you ought to hold dear in your heart, because if it were not for the church, the institution that the Lord established, we wouldn't have any way, church, to get home. We talked this weekend about we're on a voyage. If it were not for the church, we'd be on the voyage going nowhere. But I would say to us this morning, thank God that those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we're on our way home, because God has a place prepared for us, and it takes the church to get us there. That's why everybody ought to be a member of the Lord's church, this glorious institution. So whatever then comes from a glorious God got to be glorious itself. No wonder the Lord said in His word that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Thank God again for the glorious church. But not only is it glorious because it originated in the mind of a glorious Lord, but it is glorious because its mission, the mission that the Lord has designed for the church, is a mission of glory. Do you know that? That we are engaged and embarked upon a mission of glory. You ought to want to be a part of the radiance beauty. You ought to want to be a part of something that's splendid. You ought to be want to be a part of something that magnificent, that has a mission of glory. The church exists to bring glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Notice what the Bible says. Speaking about God, it says, now unto Him, unto God. The verse prior to that talked about God. So it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh us, unto Him be what? Glory. Where? In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. So God designed the church to bring or to give Him glory. Don't you want to be a part of something to give God glory? Are you thankful for what God does for you each and every day of your life? If you're thankful for what God does for you each and every day of your life, you ought to want to be a part of something that will give Him glory. And it is the church that God gets His glory from. God doesn't get His glory from the Salvation Army. He doesn't get His glory from the YMCA. He gets His glory from the church. You ought to want to be a part of the thing that God gets His glory from. The mission of the church is one of glory. But not only is it there to bring God glory, but of course, salvation is in the church. And salvation was placed in Jerusalem, or placed in Zion, For Israel, my glory, the Bible says. Isaiah 46 and verse 13. He says, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation where? In Zion. For Israel, my glory. Now, what's the importance of placing salvation in Zion, of placing salvation in Jerusalem? It's because that's where the church had its beginning. That's where salvation had its beginning, in Jerusalem. And he says again that salvation was placed in Jerusalem for Israel, for my people, for my glory. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 2 through 3. The Bible says there, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established where? In the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall do what? Flow unto it. It's going to begin in the top of the mountains, and all nations are going to flow unto it. And many people shall say, do what? Come ye and let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will do what? Walk in his paths. For out of Jerusalem, out of Zion, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. From where? Jerusalem, the place where salvation was placed. The church started. God's salvation began in Jerusalem. And he says that I'm placing salvation in Zion for Israel, for my people, for my glory. So again, the church exists for the glory of God. Again, you and I ought to want to give God glory in the institution that he gets it from. Salvation was placed in Zion. It is to preach the gospel to every preacher. And when we are preaching the gospel to every creature, the gospel that we are preaching is a glorious gospel. You notice how all of this stuff lines up? Comes from a glorious God. The salvation is glorious. The gospel is glorious. Why? Because it all came from a glorious God. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the what? Glorious gospel, the radiant beauty of the gospel. No wonder Romans 10, down about verse 14 or 15, says how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of priests. That's a beautiful gospel. It's a radiant gospel. It's a splendid gospel. It's a glorious gospel. So he says, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should do what? Shine unto them. The gospel that we preach, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is a glorious gospel because it came from a glorious God. Oh, I'm going to tell you this morning, there's nothing like the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can read any book you want to, and you'll never find a story as glorious, as beautiful, as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel does something that nothing else can do. It can save our souls. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What else can save our souls? Nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the glorious gospel that came from a glorious God, that the glorious church is to preach and to share to a lost and a dying world. You ought to want to be a part of something that will share this glorious news. Yes, the church is a glorious gospel. There is nothing like the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is salvation glorious, not only is the gospel glorious, but do you not know suffering for the Lord brings glory to God? I say the church exists for what? One purpose, to give God glory. That's one of the purposes that the church exists for, is to give God glory. And when we suffer for the cause of Christ, we are giving God glory. That's why Peter, when he wrote to the Christians in the first century, he said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 15, he says there, beginning, he says, but let none of you suffer as a what? As a murderer, or as a thief, or as a what? Evildoer, or even a what? Busybody in other men's matters. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him do what? Glorify God on this behalf. Suffering then for the cause of Christ brings glory to God. You ought to want to be a part of something. And the only way you can suffer, let me say this, the only way you can suffer for the cause of Christ is to be a member of the Lord's church. Do I need to say that again? That's the only way you can suffer for the cause of Christ, is to be a member of the Lord's church, because that's where the glory comes from. So if you are suffering and not a member of the Lord's church, even though you may think it's a good call, it's not for the glory of Christ. God gets his glory in the church. Let me say that again. God gets his glory in the church. Peter's writing to Christians, and he says, Lord, don't you glorify God on this behalf. I'm trying to teach us all the importance of being a member of this glorious church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So glory comes to God through our suffering for the cause of Christ. But then also, its destination is glorious. Everything is glorious this morning. Its destination is glorious. The end of our salvation is glorious. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4 teaches us there. The Bible says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now that's good enough right there. If it's reserved in heaven for you, it's talking about what? Salvation. And if salvation is glorious, you and I know that heaven is glorious. So its destination, that is the church's destination, is glorious. It's going to a glorious city, a city that is filled with radiant beauty. It's a magnificent city. It's a city that has all kinds of splendor there. Heaven is a beautiful place. So it's going to heaven. Its destination is glorious. And Christ again says he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church. And when everything is over, the Bible says that the church is going to be given back to God. Now, we've already said God is glorious, haven't we? So it's going to go back to where it came from. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? It's going back to where it came from. It came from a glorious God. It's going back to a glorious God. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 15, rather. Verse number 24. The Bible says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the what? Kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. We know who that's talking about, don't we? Talking about Christ. Because Jesus says in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. So Christ has all authority now. He has all rule now. He has all power now. But the Bible says, then cometh the end, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Won't we be glad when that happens? Won't have to go to nobody's funeral. Don't have to cry anymore over a loved one who's departed. Oh, he's going to destroy death. For verse 27 says, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Who was it that put all things under Christ's feet? It was God. So he says God is accepted. God didn't put himself under himself, is what the scripture said. He only put Christ under him. So he says now, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be what? All in all. The church came from God. Church going back to God. If you want to go to God, if I want to go to God, it makes sense to be a member of the glorious church. So as I close then this morning, I want to say to you that God has the institution that he established, which is the church, and he wants all men everywhere to be members of that church. He has only one glorious church, and it's the one you can read about in the New Testament. Are you a member of that? It's the one that was established in Jerusalem that we've already talked about on the first Pentecost day after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God wants everybody to be members of that one church. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. There is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse number 4. And God has designed such that all men need to be members of that one body, that one glorious church. One last scripture. I want you to show up there. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. The mystery is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then verse number 5, the next verse says this, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now here is the mystery. Here is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now let's leave that just for one while. One minute. 1 second. A little while. Go back to what I just said earlier. The body is the church. There is one body. Substitute church for the word body. There is one church. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same church and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What did he promise in Christ? Salvation. The salvation that he put in Jerusalem, that started in Jerusalem. He promised that in Christ Jesus. And the mystery of the gospel teaches us that all can have that salvation if they are in Christ and in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. Are you a member of the church of Christ? I don't know how I can make it any plainer. Are you a member of the church of Christ? If you're not a member of the church of Christ, you're not in the body of Christ. And let me say this with love, you're not saved. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be a part of this glorious institution that came from God, that's going back to God, that there's only one of? Then obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Bible makes it plain that you hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear how Christ loved you and how God loved you, how he sent Christ to die on the cross, and how Christ did die on the cross, and how he was buried in the heart of the earth, and how he arose from that grave on the third day morning. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news, because the world was lost in sin, had no hope, but Christ came and died for the sins of the world. Now everybody can be saved if they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Lord will add them to the church. You'll be a part of that glorious institution. That institution, again, that came from God and is going back to God. And if you and I want to go to God, we've got to be in that which is going to God. What's going to God? The church. The glorious church. The one church. So why not obey the Lord this morning? He didn't believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. Go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to this glorious church, Acts 2:47. Live faithful unto death. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Why not be a member of this glorious church? Obey the gospel so that God can save you. He wants to save you, but you've got to obey the gospel. I've got to obey his will in order to be saved. Why not come to the Lord? I hope that I've helped somebody this morning to see the need to be a member of the glorious church. And I hope I've helped somebody and helped all of us who are members of the church to see the need to remain a faithful member of the body of Christ. Because just because we're a member today don't mean we can't be taken out in the last day. Matthew 13:41 says that he's going to send his holy angels back, and they're going to take out of the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Take out of the kingdom all that offend and do iniquity. You can't take them out if they're not in. Which means that they've got to be in there to take them out of there. So we can be in the church, but we can be taken out of it. I say this many a time. The church is going to heaven whether we go or not. It's not dependent on our being in it to go there. It's going there. So if we want to go there, we need to be in it and be faithful unto death. So would you come this morning if you need to? If you're here then, need to obey the gospel, why not come? If you're here then in the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of Christ, turn away from it and turn back to that which is right. Again, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I need to say this, as I say from time to time, when that statement was made in Luke 13:3, he wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to his disciples. They looked around at other folks doing terrible things, and they thought, these are worse sinners than all. He said, no, except you repent, you're going to perish just like they did. So if you're in the body of Christ, you know your relationship is not right with the Lord, you need to repent. Not giving like you ought to, not assembling like you ought to, not loving like you ought to, not forgiving like you ought to, not encouraging like you ought to, going around tearing people down, speaking evil of folk, that's not the way God wants us to live. So you need to repent of that. Yes, if you don't, you're going to perish. Amen. If I don't repent, I'm going to perish. Amen. So then, again, let's be a member of this glorious church. Yes. Let's go home to live with Jesus. Amen. You're here then and you need to come. We beg you to come right now while we're standing, while we're singing.
In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way.
Would you come to the